Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries radio broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. We are dedicated to raising awareness, educating, and encouraging the body of Christ to minister to those who struggle with homosexuality. We believe restoration is available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and thanks again for joining me. The last couple of broadcasts, we've been largely turning our attention to what I would label as a crisis of truth regarding homosexuality. And this morning, I would like to continue on the same theme by looking at some very specific myths regarding homosexuality. 30 years ago, surrendering my life to Christ Jesus and saying goodbye to homosexuality, did I ever even once consider I would find myself front and center of one of the greatest crossroads the church has ever faced? Without a doubt, homosexuality has become perhaps the most controversial social issue of our time. At the very heart of this dark shadow that hangs over the church is an important question each faithful follower of Christ Jesus must ask. Will I reject the authority of the Word of God, or will I, by the power of the Holy Spirit, surrender and conform my life to the Word of God? Just the fact alone that we are continuing to debate whether or not the Bible clearly states that homosexuality is sinful validates they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That's according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. Truth must be spoken. And it must be spoken with compassion, understanding, and the knowledge that truth often cuts extremely deep before it can bring about healing and wholeness. Ultimately, all faithful followers of Christ Jesus must speak the truth about homosexuality, because it is truth alone that will bring about freedom and wholeness. Personally, I remain a bit amazed, if not flabbergasted, at how many misconceptions Christians have bought into regarding the subject of homosexuality. Therefore, once again, I thought it appropriate to spend some time focusing on the myths that far too many have embraced as fact and truth. Myth number one, homosexuality is the worst of all sins. There is no hierarchy of sins from God's perspective. There is no biblical basis or evidence to support a rating of sins. I really believe that many dig a bit of a ditch when allowing the word abominable to rule and consume the whole topic of homosexuality. Yes, the practice of homosexuality is a sin, but let's consider numerous other vices which are clearly outlined for us in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates, even that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Now, I don't know about you, but my guess is that this detailed list levels the playing field quite a bit. Therefore, let's keep the right biblical perspective. Sin is sin, and Jesus came to bear all of it on our behalf. Myth number two, homosexuality is a choice. When this false assumption is made, it is in many respects an attempt to invalidate the complexity of this issue, and it also undermines the individual's struggle with it by assuming that same-sex attraction is nothing more than a choice. I've never known anyone to wake up one morning and simply decided out of life's big buffet to be gay. Homosexuality is multi-causal, with numerous and various factors contributing to the issue, to the brokenness of same-sex attraction. While homosexual tendencies are discovered, at some point, the individual makes a conscious choice to embrace what many refer to as the gay identity. Later on in another broadcast, we're going to be turning our attention to the specific contributing factors that enable the brokenness of same-sex attraction, such as family dynamics, peer pressure, interest and temperament of the individual, and the biblical facts that we all live in a fallen world and we all struggle with a sinful nature. In my case, I was 13 years old when on a summer day right here in Bakersfield, I became acutely aware of my own issue with same-sex attraction. And there I remained for many years thereafter, until at the age of 18, I made the conscious choice to embrace, once again, what many refer to as the gay identity. This is Pastor Philip Lee with His Way Out Ministries. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. How should we, the church, respond to homosexuality? At His Way Out Ministries, we strive to offer a balance of both truth and grace. We believe the mandate of the church is to be God's expression of both His heart and mind towards homosexual people and homosexuality itself. We share, there is a God who loves you, and you can be reconciled to Him. Can we help? Absolutely. Freedom from homosexuality is possible through the unconditional love and grace of Jesus Christ. Find out more at HisWayOut.com. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. Myth number 3. Homosexuality is genetic. You know, listening to the way Hollywood in particular portrays and reports on homosexual issues, you'd think that it has been conclusively proven that same-sex attraction is entirely genetic. Wrong. The truth is, we are all fallen creatures, genetically, physically, emotionally, sexually, and in every other way imaginable. Despite numerous studies conducted over the past 60 years, no study has conclusively proven homosexuality to be genetic or inborn. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 is in reference to men and women that struggled with same-sex attraction among Corinthian Christians before they came to Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "And this is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." This verse gives evidence to realization and truth that for thousands of years, God has been changing and freeing those who seek Him and are committed to a life of obedience to Him. Even if someday a gay gene is discovered, which I personally do not believe will ever happen, science should never, ever be used in an attempt to trump God's word. Myth number 4. Marriage or dating will fix the problem of homosexuality. You know, if I had a dollar for every time I heard someone suggest that dating and or marrying a member of the opposite sex can help someone overcome homosexuality, I would be resting comfortably in an overwater bungalow in Tahiti. Never advise anyone coming out of homosexuality to seek marriage right away. Instead, encourage a season of healing before any thought of dating or marriage is considered or even discussed. 30 years ago, surrendering my life to Christ, one of the miracles that I immediately surfaced in my life was, and trust me, this was a miracle, I couldn't wait to get to church. I remember, clearly to this day, my very first church service, I felt literally like a duck out of water because my limited interaction prior to my surrendering my life to Christ with the Christian community was often anything but favorable. But there I was for the first time in church, and I remember clearly to this day when the church service began thinking to myself, this is good, this is decent, this makes sense. What I liked and what I remember to this day once again, I saw for the first time in my life what it meant to be not only a man, but more importantly, what it meant to be a godly man. I liked it then. I like it still. By the way, just for the sake of clarity, I did not become a Christian to leave homosexuality. I became a Christian because Jesus just makes sense. There's no rush to get married. In fact, many who come out of homosexuality may never get married. But that does not make them less heterosexual, less masculine, or less feminine. Some men and women that have resolved their brokenness of same-sex attraction have elected to remain single, and that's okay. This is Pastor Philip Lee with His Way Out Ministries. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. Today, with the increasing acceptance of homosexuality, many Christian families are frequently finding themselves caught in the crossfire of sounding too harsh or too accommodating. How do they effectively reach out to their loved one without compromising what the Bible says about homosexual practice? At His Way Out Ministries, we offer them the same grace, understanding, and love that Christ offered us. His Way Out Ministries offers biblical guidance, encouragement, and support to help families face and deal with homosexual issues in the family. For more information, please contact His Way Out Ministries at 661-432-7856 or visit hiswayout.com. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. Now, permit me to shift gears here just a bit. I'm a very practical guy, and I do believe that sometimes we can over-spiritualize matters when what needs to occur is our just taking a very practical step at looking at things. Many today in the church are exclaiming, are crying out to God for deliverance. Heaven knows today the list of habits and addictions and compulsive behaviors are lengthy. But I would submit that sometimes we don't have a clear understanding of what is deliverance, and more specifically, what does deliverance entail? Let's remember, Romans 12:2 tells us, "You and I are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind." I believe with all my heart, when the cry of a man or woman goes up to God and they're exclaiming to be set free from whatever they may be combating, God extends His merciful power hand and He touches that man or woman, granting, if you will, a reprieve, enabling us to come back to our senses. We realize that we have been horribly off course in life. Hence, once again, the importance of Romans 12:2. Our minds need to be renewed with the truth of God's holy word. We also, when God grants that reprieve in our lives, we have, each and every one of us, a responsibility of developing our Christian character. How is that done? Well, in part, you and I are doing it right now. We're listening to a teaching based upon the truth and the authority of Scripture. We also develop our Christian character by spending times in worship, and our worship should be much more than just Sunday morning. We do that also through fellowship, our church attendance. We do that through having a dedicated prayer and Bible study time, all those Christian maintenance areas that each and every one of us are responsible to see happen in our lives. And incidentally, all that I just offered, our pastor cannot do that for us. Our parents cannot do that for us. You and I have the responsibility to do that. And in the scheme of things today, with everything that's going on in this wacko world in which you and I live, we had better been applying ourselves on a daily basis. We also have, each and every one of us, the responsibility of developing an intimate relationship with God the Father. I see too often today men and women, once knowing that they are born again, they know that their eternal destination has been changed from hell to heaven, but far too many men stop right there. And God always has so much more for each and every one of us. How do you and I know when we have moved from just relationship with God the Father into intimate relationship with Him? I believe there's a way to know, and really all we have to do is ask ourselves a very, very important question. Is my desire to be with Him, rather than doing for Him, more important in my life? That is where we all must find ourselves. In Christian ministry, it is so easy to find things to do for God. But the heartfelt cry of our Heavenly Father is to spend intimate quality time with each and every one of us on a daily basis. And I guarantee you, when we are in His presence, it is impossible to remain the same. This is Pastor Philip Lee with His Way Out Ministries. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. I, like many other men and women, once bought into the notion, once gay, always gay. After exhausting everything this world had to offer and everything that gay seemingly had to offer, I surrendered my life to Christ Jesus on October 5th, 1985, and everything in life changed. Freedom from the gay identity is indeed possible through a genuine, deep, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I would like to share with you the life-changing message, truth, and power of God's Word, which freed me from homosexuality. For more information, please visit HisWayOut.com. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. I pose a question about being in an intimate relationship with God the Father, because we are all in process. We are all in process of becoming more and more like Christ Jesus. I'm satisfied that the process, which always points to an element of time, will continue in each of our lives till we either go home to be with Him or He comes back to get us. Ultimately, what is my point? Brother, sister, relax and enjoy the journey. Myth number 5. Tolerance means approving of however anyone lives. Where does it say that tolerance means validating and communicating a message of approval for however anyone chooses to live? Today, maybe more than ever, it truly seems if one respectfully disagrees, the same is labeled intolerant. While I do believe each Christian should be tolerant, today Christians are being asked to not only put up with, endure, validate, and bear with those who have different views, habits, and or lifestyles than our own, but we are being insisted to agree with their views as well. Clearly, the last tolerance the church is being asked to validate and embrace today is tolerance for immorality. Today, challenging one's beliefs or lifestyle, resulting in hurting one's feelings, you will be labeled intolerant. Today, far too many are stating you cannot have an open, honest, and frank discussion about the rightness or wrongness of homosexuality. Ultimately, far too many have thrown up their arms in an attitude of you just can't win, which is enabling a silence that is deafening and frankly is killing us. Therefore, let me be perfectly clear. Homosexuality is not about civil rights. Homosexuality is about morals. Today's advocates of tolerance demand we validate and affirm the perspectives of all people. However, I believe Jesus would respond with something much different. He would speak the truth, because the truth sets free. Jesus was anything but indifferent to the lifestyles of others. In fact, He died on the cross to pay the price for the lifestyle choices of others and paved the way for everyone to go and sin no more, according to John chapter 8, verse 11. It is entirely possible to accept others without compromising the truth. Consequently, there is a world of difference between acceptance and approval. In the current trend, tolerance continues. If it continues as it has, it is entirely possible that a person can be sent to jail for what he is thinking in his head or heart. Clearly, there is a campaign to drive any and all expressions of moral traditionalism completely from public view and life. Today, the church is in great peril. Too much of God's wisdom has been pushed out, and now man's wisdom prevails. Struggling as it is regarding the issue of homosexuality, the church remains the body of Christ. The church offers a message of redemption that can come from nowhere else. We must not and we cannot hide from our responsibility, because we hold the only answer there is to the crisis of homosexuality, especially in the church. This morning, I pray we all would remember the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. If you are asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it, but you must do this in a gentle and respectful way, keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak evil against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. When God tells us in His Word not to do something, I wholeheartedly believe He is trying His utmost to protect you and I from unseen danger. If we choose to believe God's Word that certain behaviors are unacceptable to Him, then we can equally believe Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Romans 8:37, I am more than a conqueror through Him. And 1 John 4:4, greater is He who is in me than he that is in this world. Ultimately, please remember, there isn't a special antidote for ministering to those with same-sex attraction, any more than there is one for ministering to those with an unhealthy love of food or money or heterosexual sin, whatever the sin may be. The same God who sent His Son for you also sent His Son for the homosexual. The truth is, we shouldn't need a crisis to get us on the move to fulfilling the Great Commission to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Getting energized to fight homosexuality as an issue may seem worthy, but we should not let that become more important than praying for and reaching to souls of the lost and hurting, and doing something positive to help homosexuals who want out of their captive lifestyles. Along with becoming more educated on the subject of homosexuality, I believe we need to do some personal soul searching and reprioritizing of our goals. One of the number one goals I believe as Christians should always be to love souls. Everything we do must boil down to that primary God-given desire. So let's briefly recap the myths of homosexuality. One, homosexuality is not the worst of any and all sins. Two, homosexuality is not just simply a choice. Three, homosexuality is not genetic. Four, marriage or dating is not the fix-all end to the brokenness of same-sex attraction. And five, tolerance does not mean we should approve of how anyone chooses to live. In closing, just one final thought. When you and I embrace the truth of Scripture without compromise, Jesus Himself empowers you and I to walk in His purposes. Truthless grace accomplishes nothing. Our Lord richly bless and keep you, and I hope and I will continue to pray that what I shared with you this morning will impact your life. So once again, we will be faithful followers of Christ Jesus, always remembering that we are His ambassadors to reach a wounded, broken, and hurting world. Until next week, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
His Way Out is based on our concern regarding the issue of homosexuality, and we seek to minister to those within the church and the community at large with the truth of Scripture, the power of our testimony, and the dialogue of issues. For more information, contact His Way Out Ministries, 1830 Truxton Avenue, Suite 102 in Bakersfield, California, 93301, or find them on the web, hiswayout.com, or call 661-432-7856. And join us again next time for His Way Out with Pastor Philip Lee.